How many of you raised your hands this morning when Alvin asked who's you all going to be teaching? Nobody that's sitting in here? You did? Okay, thank you. If you didn't, maybe you would be willing to change your mind yet. Maybe we can all be teachers this morning, and we don't have to be teachers. But I would encourage you to join in the Bible study this morning. And it is my desire that we would be edified. All of us would be edified this morning. When Paul gave instructions to Timothy, there's many times through the book that he was saying to Timothy to put an end to meaningless talk and discussions that gender strife and lead people away from the truth. can't exactly turn to any of them. Anyhow, it would be my desire that the Bible study would be would be edifying for all of us. We're going to read a few portions of Scripture first. And the title for the Bible study is found in the first scripture that we'll read. We'll just read that in 1 Samuel 17. Very familiar account. We'll read. You need a volunteer to read the verses, maybe from verses 32 to 50. We have a volunteer to read that. I thought you had one, Abe, there, but you were just. Thank you.
First Samuel 17, verses 32 to 50. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him, and I struck him and delivered him out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and with spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it, and it struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David.
Thank you. Second Chronicles 20, verses 1 to 29. Maybe I'll just read that. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Menuhites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazon Tamar." Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in the land when your people Israel arrived? Did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name." They said, "Wherever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before the temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. Now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." As the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. One of them standing there, his name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jehuel, son of Mataniah, and a Levite who is the son of Asaph. He said, "Listen to all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Cherael. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out in the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all ye people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. You will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophet, and you will concede. And you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising his holy splendor. This is what he's saying. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. At this very moment, at the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of them, one of the enemy, had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder, and they found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder, it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is called the Valley of Blessing today. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched in Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and proceeded to the temple of the Lord. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Does anybody have any idea what the title of the Bible study could be? It was found in the first portion that was read. There's a theme, but it's also the similar words were found. They were found in both passages that were read. Yes, Marie.
The battle is the Lord's.
That's the title, precisely. 1 Samuel 17, verse 47, it says, the battle is the Lord's. And in 2 Chronicles, I'm not exactly sure where it's found there, but for the battle is not yours, but it is God's. And I was blessed this morning as Alvin shared that as he was, he basically said that thing. Anyhow, we have two accounts here of battles being fought. And that's the theme, that's a similar theme that the battle is the Lord's, but there is also something that's different about these two accounts. Does anybody know what did anybody get what is different about these two accounts? That's what was similar. That's what was similar in the accounts, but there is something that is different in these accounts.
The one they had to act out, and the other they had to wait on the Lord.
Basically, the battle was the Lord's in both accounts. In one account, David actually went out and fought. In the other account, the Lord did the fighting himself. God himself, there was no armies went to battle. God himself caused the opposing army to fight amongst themselves, and there was no need to go out and fight. That's the way it is, I think, in the battles that we face. The battle is always the Lord's, but sometimes we are called to go out and perform in battle. Sometimes the battle, there's many times there is battles being fought that we find that we maybe barely notice, or if we do notice, we had very little input, so to speak. But many times, I was going through the Old Testament, as I was thinking about this, I was looking for different accounts in battles where, like that, there's some battles that Israel went out with a great army and they succeeded in battle. Sometimes they even lost. Other times they went out with, not always Israel, but accounts where people went out to battle at great odds and fought in a battle. So when do we most realize that the battle is the Lord's? What causes us to realize that the battle is the Lord's? Abe?
When God strips us of everything that we think we need to win. I think of Gideon. God took away his men. He took away everything that should possibly help him. And once he had so little that there was no chance for him, then he was able to leave it to God.
Thank you. Anybody else? That's basically what I had too. When the biggest odds are against us, when we go out to perform a task, just a simple thing as performing a task. If it's something that our strength can easily accomplish, we don't realize our need for a different strength. But it's when the odds are against us. The odds are the heaviest against us that we realize the most that the battle is the Lord's. Just to emphasize that a bit, we might turn to 1 Judges 6. Or Judges 6. This is an account where Israelites had been handed over to the Midianites, and let's just read chapter 6 part. We'll start reading here. Not sure how far. Start reading at verse 8. Then the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the land of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not of the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. It's interesting. Verse 13 is interesting. Gideon basically said, well, those are nice words. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why has this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Basically saying those are nice words to say that the Lord is with you. But what kind of confidence should we have that the Lord is with us? With the trouble that's come upon us, what kind of confidence do we have that the Lord is with us? With all the trouble that's falling on us. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, that then thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then shew me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not thence, I pray thee, till I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of ephah flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he brought the broth in a pot and brought it unto him under the oak and presented it. The angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock. Pour out the broth. And he did so. The angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh of the unleavened cakes. And there rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. When Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face, the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass in the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, every second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut it down unto the grove that is, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in this ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. So it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said to one another, Who hath done this thing? And they inquired and they asked. They said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, because he has cut down the grove that is by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, in that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against himself, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. He sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and Zebulun and to Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. Then Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if it be on the fleece side, if it be dew on the fleece side only, let it, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then I shall know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And so it was, for he rose up early in the morning and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, and let it be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people who were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Let Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine hand has saved me. Just read that verse in the New Living Translation. Verse 2, it says, the Lord said to Gideon, ye have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they have saved themselves by their own strength. He was saying, you have too many warriors. If I let you go and fight the Midianites with the army that you have brought together, then you will say that you have conquered the Midianites. So you have to go and downsize your army. And that's what happened. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, there remained 10,000. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there, and it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to the mouth, were 300 men, but the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, I will save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Let all the other people go, every man into his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and trumpets, and they sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained these 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass in the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go with Phirou thy servant down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine eyes be strengthened to go down to the host. And then went he down with Phirou his servant, running his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And Gideon came, and behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto the tent and smote it, that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. We could just continue reading there, and in verse 22 and 21, and they stood every man in his place round the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled, and the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow throughout all the host, and the host fled to Bethsheba and Sarath and to the border of Abel-Meholah and Tabah. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. They took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock. Oreb and Zeeb they slew at the winepress of Zeeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side. So I was just wanting to focus on that verse 2, where God told the Midianites, if I let this vast army go, then you will say, we have defeated them. If you take less and the odds are against you, you will realize that the battle is the Lord's. Lamentations 3, verse 25, it says, it is by the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. So I think it is important that we realize that the battle is the Lord's, and it is by the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. What kind of an attitude should that put into us if we realize that the battle is the Lord's? What kind of an attitude should that put into us? Any suggestions?
It should be trust and confidence and praise and thanksgiving.
I like that. Confident and grateful. Anything else?
Surrender, submission.
Marie up here.
Humility, that without God we can do nothing.
Yes, I. Confidence and humility were the two that I had as well. It is important that we know that confidence and humility can work together, can be together. And they should be. Confidence does not take away humility, and humility does not take away confidence. There was... We'll continue it next week, and I was thinking of going into Ephesians, where it talks about the armor of God. And we'll just discuss some of those verses. And I would like if you could bring your own accounts, either accounts from the Bible, accounts that were interesting accounts of battles being fought and how they were either successful or unsuccessful, it doesn't matter. But just to give us a confidence and an appreciation that the battle is the Lord's. And something for you to think about maybe. Has God ever lost a battle yet? I don't think God has ever lost a battle, and yet there's many accounts throughout the Bible when people have gone in His name and have lost battles. Let's just think about why that is. And the other thing that I would welcome is if you have personal experiences or things that you that have things outside, things in your life that have given you confidence that the battle is the Lord's. So that's just something that I'm not asking that you have to do that, but you would be very welcome to share things like that or share stories out of the Bible that you would like to discuss in light of the topic that we are studying. So maybe we will be going into Ephesians. Talking about the armor that we need to go into battle. We'll leave it at that for today.